Oscar Stoller was born about as poor as you could get. He was born in a mud house in his hometown of North Dakota, USA. He grew up farming his family's land. He never owned his own home. He had to struggle to pay his children's school fees and to pay his bills. He never even attended high school. Life was not easy for Oscar and his wife, Laureen. But then one day in 2008, something happened that changed everything. Some strangers came to his land and talked to him. They were representatives from an oil company, and they told Oscar that geological surveys indicated that there was a vast reservoir of oil underneath the ground on his land. The oil company asked him if they could drill some wells and see if they could bring up the oil. Oscar agreed. They drilled a well and soon struck oil. They drilled other wells and also produced oil. And suddenly, everything changed. The oil company paid Oscar and Laureen huge sums of money to release the oil and sell it. For the first time in his life, Oscar didn't have to work or worry about money. He and Laureen bought their first home and finally were able to enjoy their newfound wealth. Overnight, Oscar Stoller was a millionaire. But in reality, Oscar Stoller was a wealthy man all along. He just didn't know it. When he inherited the family land from his father, the oil was there, and he inherited all of the mineral rights. He had all that vast reservoir of oil, but he just needed to tap into it. He'd been living in poverty when all the time he was rich indeed. There's amazing truth in the true story of Oscar Stoller. It's something that we all need to grasp and understand this morning. For you see, just like him, we're sitting on a vast, untapped reservoir of potential and promise. There are many of us in the church, though, that have never tapped in, never discovered, and never released that vast reservoir of potential. We're sitting on a source of provision, but we failed to access the wealth of God's promises. You see, the fact is the Bible tells us that God is a God of yes, and the Bible tells us that he sent the yes Savior, Jesus, to fulfill all of his yes promises so that we could live an abundant life. His promises are so vast, so luxurious, everything you could ever need is contained inside of them, but just like Oscar Stoller, you have to find the riches and release them. That's the message in our sermon this morning, a sermon entitled Living the Yes Life. By God's grace, we're going to discover the three commitments we can all make this year to live the yes life. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for your great grace and power, your presence here with us, your promises and your potential. We lift up our hands and lift up our hearts and our faith to you today, and we say, Lord, help us to understand what you're speaking to us today. Give us understanding and revelation that we might live the yes life you've destined for us to live. We submit to you right now. We bind every voice of the enemy, every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. We command it to be silent. And I loose the spirit of the living God, the spirit of liberty, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of grace to give us the strength to obey. That, Lord, at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and our lives will be transformed. We thank you by faith today in Jesus' name. And everybody said yes. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me. Just put your hand on your chest, release your faith together with mine, and say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, happy new year, happy new decade. And welcome to First Sunday here at Agape House. It's so great to have you here in the presence of the Lion in person and online together around the world. I believe that God is doing something awesome as we've entered a new year. There's a vast promise of God for us, and today we're going to understand and tap in to how we can make that promise reality in our own lives. See, the fact is, there's no better place to begin your year than right here in the house of God, because God has a plan for you. He's got a purpose and a potential for your life today and for your life this year and for your life this decade. He wants you to walk in the fullness of his power and his promise. And if you'll tap into God and connect with his spirit, you will find and fulfill your destiny for 2020. That's why our sermon today, the first sermon of the year, is entitled Living the Yes Life. See, God doesn't want you just to have an experience at the watch night and then it fades into oblivion. He wants you to live every day in 2020 in the fullness of his abundant grace and power. We had a great time at our watch night at UPSA. We sang and rejoiced. We thanked and praised God for all he's done for us. We made our faith declarations. We prayed with faith. We heard the word of God, and God came down and blessed us as we entered into 2020. It was a glorious release of God's presence. But sadly for many Christians, that's the highlight of their entire year. After they enter the watch night and celebrate, it's all downhill from there. But it doesn't have to be that way. God wants you to live every day, 365 days this year, in the presence of his power and of his promises. He wants you to experience more than just a watch night. He wants you to experience a full year of his glory. So to help us learn how to do that, we've printed sermon notes. They're inside your bulletin. They look like this. And I invite you to take them out now and follow along with me as we discover the three commitments we all need to make today for the yes life. And there at the top of your notes is our scripture text for today. It's found in 2 Corinthians 1, 19 to 20. It's our text for the entire year and for this sermon series. It's on the notes and it's on the screens, the new LED screens right in front of you. Can give you the Lord a big shout for that. Amen. But I believe God's word has the most power when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So I want to invite everybody to read it out loud together with me today. Would you read it like you're excited about 2020? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. As God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding shout it out. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody shout. Yes. What an incredible promise. I could meditate on this passage for hours over and over and still not get to the full depth of the meaning. For you see, in this passage, God tells us over and over again that there's a yes from him. It comes through the yes, Jesus. It's a promise that brings a resounding yes to our lives, and you can't lose out. You can't go wrong. You can't fail. When you believe and act on his word, you will live a life of yes and a destiny of yes. But like Oscar Stoller, you have to do something to find and release that promise into your life. So today, let's look at the three commitments for a yes life. And here's your first commitment. You've got to find my promise. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word find. Find my promise. Everybody say, find my promise. Now understand today that there are thousands of words in God's word that are promises for us. Scholars tell us that there's literally 7,000 promises in the word of God. There are promises for every season, for every type of problem, for every person. There's promises of provision and promises of power. But the best news for all of us is that there is a promise for you. God has a promise for you. Just put your hand on your chest and say, God has a promise for me. And that's what you need to know and understand today. God doesn't want to just dump all the promises on you in such an impersonal way. God's Bible is not a cash machine that you go to and extract money from. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to reveal the right promise for you at the right time in the right season. God has a promise for each and every one of us, and those promises are gifts from him personally. He wants you to come up on his lap and sit with him and listen to him and hear him reveal his rhema promise to you. For the fact is, without a revelation of God's promise, you cannot have the faith to receive it. Consider what the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17. The Bible says, faith comes from hearing the word of God. And in the original Greek language that this was written in, the word means rhema. It's the Greek word rhema. And literally, rhema means a revelation word from God. So here's the new agape version of Romans 10:17. No one can have faith without hearing the rhema word of of revelation from God. In other words, if you want to possess God's possession, you want to obtain the promise, you need to have not just the written word, but a rhema word of God speaking directly to you, saying this promise is for you. Without a revelation of God's will, you just have a fantasy or a wish. You have to know his plan in every particular situation so that you could have the faith to claim it. That's why this year, every day, in every decision, your prayer needs to be, Lord, what promise from your word are you speaking to me today? When I was preparing this sermon, I wasn't just preparing what I was going to say, but I also asked God, God, give me a promise for me, the preacher, that I can stand on as I'm preaching today. And God spoke promises to me from the Bible. And every day, in every decision, God wants you to come and say, Lord, I've got to find my promise. What promise are you speaking to me? The problem for most of us is that we don't take time in the Word of God and we treat it like a cash machine. Most of us just tend to flip through, and any verse we read, we say that's the word of God for me today. And in a general sense it is, but God wants to speak to you specifically. Reminds me of the young man who was praying for direction. So he picked up his Bible and flipped through and said, I'm just going to believe that whatever verse my finger lands on, that's the verse for me. So he flipped through the pages, put his finger down, and read the verse. Judas went and hung himself. Hey! He said, no, that can't be right. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. He flipped through, let me try again. He flipped through, put his finger down. Go and do likewise. Hey! He said, wait a minute, this isn't right. Let me try again. He flipped through, put his finger down. Whatever you do, do it quickly with all your heart. See, the fact is, God's promise for you may not be God's promise for you, may not be God's promise for you. He has a specific rhema word for each and every one of us. And in order to claim what is yours, you have to know what is yours. You can only know what is yours by revelation. That's why the Apostle Paul prays for all of us in Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. Listen to his prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So Paul is praying for us and saying, God, open their eyes, give them revelation, let them have understanding so that they can know the power and the promises available to us. Because the truth is, you won't possess what you don't perceive. That's the lesson we can learn from a man named Timothy Henry Gray. The dead body of Timothy Henry Gray was found on December 27th, 2012, lying under a bridge outside in his hometown of Evanston, Wyoming, USA. When police examined the scene, they found no reason to believe there was foul play. They saw no evidence that Timothy Gray had been attacked. It appeared that he died simply from exposure to the cold and from malnutrition. Most of the people who heard about Timothy Henry Gray's death weren't surprised. After all, he was known in Evanston, Wyoming as a beggar, a poor man who lived outside. He was always asking for food. He was known as someone who had nothing at all. At least that's what it appeared. But what most people didn't know about Timothy Henry Gray was, in fact, he was a member of the powerful and wealthy Clark family. He was a great-grandson of William Clark, the man who founded Las Vegas. He was a nephew of Huguette Clark, a woman worth $300 million U.S. dollars, who had apartment buildings in New York City and mansions in California. At the time of his death, it's estimated that Timothy Henry Gray stood to inherit $19 million U.S. dollars. He wasn't a poor man after all. He had the potential of millions of dollars of his inheritance, but you won't possess what you don't perceive. And Timothy Henry Gray didn't know the riches available to him. He didn't perceive the potential of his inheritance, so he never possessed the money, and he died empty-handed. Now, before we condemn Timothy Henry Gray as a fool, let us consider our own lives. For we're sitting on top of a wealth far greater than $19 million. It's worth more than all the gold and silver in the world. It is the promises of God that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. It's the promises of a God who can never fail. It's the promise and the power of a God whose yes is yes and no is no. But you won't possess what you don't perceive, because we don't receive God's revelation. We don't receive our inheritance. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Understanding is essential to receiving. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 13, "For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understanding. Their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." Without revelation, there was no healing. Without revelation, there was no salvation. Because they didn't perceive, they couldn't possess. And Jesus goes on and says in verse 19, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. See, the fact is, you can listen to the word of God every day of the week, but if you don't understand it, you won't possess what it brings to you. You can come and listen to sermons Sunday after Sunday, but without a revelation, you won't receive it. In order to find my promise, I must have divine revelation. That's why the Bible links success in life to understanding. In Colossians 1, 9 and 10, Paul says, "I ask God to fill you with the wisdom and understanding the Holy Spirit gives. Then your lives will please the Lord. You will do every kind of good work, and you will know more about God." So you need to go to God at the start of this year and ask him for a revelation. Every day, wake up and say, "Lord, what's your promise for me today? What's your promise in this decision? I need to get into your word and find my promise so that it can come to pass in 2020. And when you found the promise, you're ready for the second commitment. You've got to obey the premise. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word obey. And listen to what the dictionary says is the definition of premise. A premise is to provide the basis for. And what that means for us is there's a basis for every promise to be fulfilled. There are conditions attached to every promise. God says, "If you, then I." An example of this is on the bottom of page 1 on your notes, Deuteronomy 28. Listen carefully. If, everybody say if. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if, somebody say if. If you obey the Lord your God. Turn your notes over to page 2 and understand that twice God says his promise is based on a premise. The premise is if you, the promise is then I. For the fact is, every promise has a premise. To obtain the promise, you've got to obey the premise. Now, a lot of God's promises, the premise is simply to have faith and believe. God's promises are available to those who accept them by faith. But there are other promises that the premise requires you to act. For example, Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give and you will receive." It's not a matter of faith, it's a matter of action. When you give, then God fulfills the promise. And sometimes the premise is both doing and believing. Take, for example, the passage in Psalm 34, 8 and 10. Listen carefully and see if you can discover the promise and the premise. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing." And in this passage, we actually have three promises and three premises. Joy comes, that's a promise, to those who take refuge in God. That's the premise. The promise is you will have all you need. The premise is you must fear the Lord. The promise is you will lack no good thing. The premise is you must trust in the Lord. The problem for most of us is that oftentimes we don't really believe the premise preconditions the promise. We think that it can't be right that I can lack no good things simply by trusting God. We think we've got to use ways and means to get to our own objective. We can pray and ask God to help us, but we think it's going to come by our own struggling and by our own effort. We think it doesn't really work to trust in the Lord and fear him. But God's ways are not man's ways. And you've got a choice this year. You can either yield to God or try it your own way. But the fact is, God's word never lies. All his promises are true. He never breaks his word. He never lies. He never fails. He never gives us something and then takes it away from us. If he's promised it to us, it is ours. And if you believe that, you will obey the premise. For the greater your faith, the greater your obedience. That's a lesson I've learned over and over through my life. Let me give you one example. A few years back, I was flying from Ghana to London on British Airways. And I've traveled a lot in my life, and I've discovered that traveling brings out the mean in people. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. You know, for some reason, when we travel, people, they lose their manners. They behave in ways they shouldn't. People are tense and tired, and sometimes that leads them to be rude and demanding. And I confess that sometimes when traveling, I've been tempted to get angry and become demanding and impatient. But I've learned that if you trust the Lord, you will lack no good thing. And that's what I discovered when I was flying to London. It was late at night, and I'd had a busy week, and I was harried and packing up my load. I rushed through the airport, got patted down, went through security. By the time I got on the plane, I just wanted to close my eyes and go to sleep. I'd get in my seat. I'd put my suitcase up on the top in the carriage. I'd done everything and was settling in when all of a sudden, a man and his wife came and stood before me with their luggages, and they said, "You're in my seat." Hey! I brought up my ticket. I showed the man my ticket. I showed him my name and my seat number. I said, "That's this seat." He brought out his ticket, his name, and his seat number. It was the same one. He said, "You're in my seat. That's my seat. I want my seat. Get out." I could have, you know, gotten angry or been impatient. I could have said, "Don't you know who I am?" But I decided just to trust God. I'd prayed and committed my journey to God, so I just wanted to relax and trust in God. The man went and complained. He was not going to budge. That was his seat. He wanted that seat. He went and complained. The flight attendant came. She looked at his ticket, looked at the seat, looked at the number. She looked at my ticket, looked at the seat, looked at the number. She said, "Hey, Reverend Wickham, get your things. Please, give this man your seat. Come with me." The man was jubilating. I was embarrassed. I said, "Hey, I'm in the right seat. Why are you?" She said, "Follow me." I got my things. I didn't know where I was going, but I trusted God. I followed her right up to first class. Hey! First class. Now, wow. First class, Nobis Martino. If you've never tried first class, you don't know what you're missing. Express de Livio. In first class, the seat is bigger. The food is better. The service is faster. In first class, they treat you like royalty. They even give you a free gift in first class, be like, wow. The man in back was saying, "Hey, I got my seat. I said, "Brother, you can have that seat." The difference between my first seat and my first class seat was like the difference between Mama Lit and Mövenpick. Yes. The difference between my first seat and my first class seat was like the difference between Boys and Kempinski. The difference between my first seat and my first class seat was like the difference between Nigeria Jollof and Ghana Jollof. Hey! Somebody shout, yeah! Somebody shout, yeah! Hallelujah. I wanted to say that all year. I trusted God, and he gave me more than I needed. I left the choice to him, and he gave me the best. Because when you leave the choice to God, he always gives you the best. Somebody shout yes. See, you don't need to struggle. You don't need to fear. You don't need to fumble. You need to find your promise and obey the premise and see what my yes God will do. Because all his promises are yes. God's job is the yes. Your job is obey. And here's what you need to know to follow the yes life all year. When you receive a promise from God, you need to ask him, "Lord, what's my promise and what's the premise? What condition must I meet to receive?" But you see, the fact is, revelation alone won't give you the victory. Revelation alone won't bring you success. Revelation alone won't make the possible, the impossible possible. A lot of people are running around looking for revelation. You can have all the revelation in the world, but without action, the revelation won't come to pass. To get your revelation to come to pass, you have to realign to the revelation to get results. Tell your neighbor, realign to the revelation to get results. That's the truth we learn from the powerful true story of a powerful man of God named Reinhard Bonnke. You may know that last month Reinhard Bonnke passed away, went to glory. His funeral was yesterday. He was one of the greatest evangelists of our modern history. Perhaps the greatest man who's ever evangelized in Africa. It's estimated that through his crusades, more than 70 million people gave their lives to Christ. He preached the gospel, he healed the sick, he brought great revival to our continent. But the start of his ministry required that he realign to the revelation to get results. You see, early in his ministry, he was a missionary in southern Africa. He was working in the nation of Lesotho, and he had a revelation that God wanted to win millions of people to Christ. He had a revelation of healing power coming. He had a revelation of the blood of Jesus from Cape Town to Cairo, and he believed that Africa would be saved and healed and delivered under his ministry, but he didn't know how to do it. He had to realign himself to the revelation to get results, and God helped him out. At that early stage, all that he knew to do was to have a crusade and invite a guest speaker. So Reinhard Bonnke went and invited a great man of God who preached the gospel and healed the sick, and the man agreed to come. Bonnke's team began preparing. They got a venue, they got equipment, and they started advertising all over Lesotho and promoting the ministry of this great man of God. And excitement was building, and the day was getting close. Finally, the week of the meetings, Bonnke went to the airport, picked up the man of God, took him to the hotel. The services were starting the next day, so Bonnke said, "You rest tonight. I'll come in the morning and collect you for the meetings." But in the next morning, when Bonnke went to the hotel to meet the man of God, he got the shock of his life. When he got there, he found the man of God had packed his suitcases and was checking out of the hotel and leaving. Bonnke said, "Man of God, where are you going? What are you doing? You don't like the hotel? I'll get you a different one." The man of God said, "No." He said, "Last night God spoke to me that I'm supposed to leave. So I'm leaving." Bonnke said, "Leaving? You can't leave. We've got a venue. We've got equipment. We've put publicity and promotion everywhere. We've put your picture all over the city. We've spent money. We're ready. And the meetings start tonight. We're depending upon you." The man of God said, "God told me to leave, so I'm leaving. But who will preach?" But the evangelist would not change his mind. He got on a plane and left. And suddenly, Reinhard Bonnke had a program with no guest speaker, no one to preach, no one to pray for the sick. There was nothing he could do but go and conduct the meeting himself. He believed in miracles. He expected miracles. He believed in praying for the sick. He expected healing, but he'd never done it himself. He had to realign to the revelation to step forward and receive the results. So Bonnke started preaching in that meeting. And as he was preaching, a man jumped up on the right side and started shouting, "I've been healed. I've been healed. God's touched me. I'm healed." And all of a sudden, heaven opened and the power of God came down and other people started jumping up in the meeting. "I've been healed. I've been healed. I've been healed." All across the auditorium, a great buzz of electricity and excitement arose in the crowd as God began to supernaturally heal people right and left. And Bonnke preached and people got saved and the crowd kept coming and the move of God happened. And it launched him into an international ministry that brought 70 million people to Christ because he realigned to the revelation and got results. He yielded to the power of God and let the power flow through him. And that's the same principle that will work in your life. That's why 2 Peter 1, 4, and 5 says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises." He's given you yes promises full of potential. These are the promises that enable, they empower you to share his divine nature. You become like Jesus through his promises. You escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, let's read it together. Ready, go. In view of all this, make every effort to respond. Make every effort to respond. Make every effort. Tell your neighbor, make every effort to respond to God's promises, to realign to the revelation, to get results. God wants you to realign your life this year. Stop waiting for somebody else to do something else. Stop waiting for somebody else to pray and believe. Get up and get involved. Find your promise. Obey the premise. And that brings us to our third commitment. Release God's power. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word release. Everybody say release. Listen carefully. You have the power of God in you. If you're a child of God, if you've been washed in the blood and you're saved and born again, you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. You've got the power of God, and He wants you to release that power to fulfill His promises. See, the Lord wants to work with us. That's why our scripture text says in verse 20, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. So our yes goes up to God so that His yes can come down to us. All the promises of God are yes, but they're locked up waiting for us to respond, waiting for us to extend our yes to heaven so that heaven can be opened and yes can come down. There's a vast power available to you today, to all who believe, but God is waiting for you to act. He's waiting you to find your promise, obey the premise, and stand in faith and release the power. He's waiting for you and me to tap into the untapped, unlimited power of God and release it. That's why He's promised us power. For Jesus said in John 7, 38 to 39, whoever, somebody say whoever, whoever believes in me, whoever, anyone, anywhere, every time, every generation, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers, not a drop, not a trickle, but rivers, not one river, but rivers, plural, rivers of living water will flow from within them. What are those rivers of living water? By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So this promise is to whoever, it's to anybody, it's to rich and poor, black and white, Ghanaian, Nigerian, Chinese, and American. It's whether you're tall or short. If you believe, that power is available. It's the rivers of life. It's a torrent of life. It's the rivers of God's Spirit. This is the Spirit that moves mountains. This is the Spirit that breaks the yoke. This is the Spirit that changes destinies. This is the Spirit that brings revival. This is the Spirit that brings life. This is the Spirit that's power is in you. If you believe it, shout yes. And that's the power that was begun, released on the day of Pentecost. It was released in the upper room to the disciples. But listen, it wasn't just for them. It was for each and every one of us. For Peter preached on that day under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there was somebody else that was still going to receive. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And I don't know about you, but I know that God has called me. And I don't know about you, but I know I'm far off. And I don't know about you, but I know this promise is for me. It's a promise of power. It's a promise of rivers. It's a promise of life. It's a promise of healing. It's a promise of miracles. It's a promise of signs. It's a promise of the presence of God. Somebody shout yes. And God simply wants you to stand and release it. You can release that power through faith and unity in prayer. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 18, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. You can loose the Spirit of God from heaven. You can bind demonic forces. You can break principalities and powers right here on. You may live in Okpongolo. You may live in Shashi. You may live in Bawaleshi. But wherever you are on earth, you can bind the devil and loose the Spirit of God. And when you come in agreement with other two here at Agape House, God promises, I will do it. That's why you can release it in unity and confession. Release the power, as Jesus said in Mark 11, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. You can release the power of God through your prayer. You can release the power of God through your faith declaration. You can release the power of God by joining us beginning tomorrow, 6 a.m., 11 a.m., 6 p.m., as we fast and pray for 7 days. Together, united in prayer, united in spirit, united in the promise, we can release amazing power. For the Bible tells us in Isaiah 58, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. You can release God's power from heaven into your life and make your life a yes life. You can release God's power into your year and make it a yes year. We can release God's power to our nation and make it a yes nation. Find your promise. Go to God every day and say, Lord, what's your promise for me today? Obey the promise. Do what it says and release the power through confession, through prayer, through fasting. We will make yes 2020 a reality. If you believe it, say yes. Would you stand together with me all across the auditorium in the balcony today? We're going to make a yes declaration together. Are you ready? Just say it after me. This is my year of yes. I am connected to the God of yes.
I am connected to the God of yes.
I am consecrated to God's will.
I am consecrated to God's will.
Because I say yes.
Because I say yes.
To my Heavenly Father.
To my Heavenly Father.
All His promises are yes to me.
All His promises are yes.
So I claim them by faith.
So I claim them by faith.
I will find my promise.
I will find my promise.
Obey the premise.
Obey the premise.
And release God's power.
And release God's power.
I am living. The yes life.
The yes life.
Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Give the Lord a round of applause together with me right now. Come on and give Him a shout. Give Him a cheer. Right now, we're going to release the power. And it's not just me praying, it's all of us praying. As we unite together in faith, as we declare God's power, we're going to release power into your life, into your marriage, into your company, into your business, your education. We're going to release yes power into our nation, into our continent, and into this generation. Lift up your hands and let's pray together right now and begin to call upon God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Say, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We loose and release yes power into this world, into our lives, into our families. Lord, let your promises come to pass. Let your power come upon us. We loose and release the grace and the glory of God today into our lives, into our church, into our nation, into our generation. Father, we thank you and we bless you right now. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise today, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, right now, the Lord's giving me the word trap. Somebody's trapped. But right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I let that trap go in the name of Jesus. I loose that trap. I command that trap to be spoiled. Let there be no power, no effectiveness in that trap in the name of Jesus. I bind that trap and I bind the devil from coming to put you in that trap in the name of Jesus. I loose wisdom, discernment, understanding, revelation into your life. God wants to speak to you. When you're making a decision, when you're going through a door, when you're making a turn, He wants to speak to you. Not that way, this way, not this way, that way. You will avoid every trap when you listen to God and walk in His favor. If you believe it, say amen. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. Your life is shining brighter. Your path is getting brighter. You're avoiding traps. You're going to avoid traps you used to fall into. They're not going to catch you anymore. You're growing in wisdom. You're growing in strength. If you believe it, shout yes.
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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I keep sensing elevation. I keep sensing that God is taking you from lower to higher, from lesser to greater, from economy class to first class. It comes not by struggling, not by lying, not by cheating or pushing. It comes by surrender. If you leave the choice to God, He'll give you the best. Lift up your hands today and say, Lord, I leave the choice to You. I surrender to You. I trust in You. I fear You today. I take refuge in You. You are my yes, and I trust in You. Let Your promises be fulfilled in my life in 2020, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, we're going to pray for our prayer slips. Would you stretch forth your hands right now and help me to pray over these prayer requests that have been brought in? Let's pray. If you've got a need represented here, you can join for yourself or someone else you know. Let's begin to pray right now. Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up these requests and that people they represent, the men and women who are desperately seeking You. Right now, Lord, as a point of contact, we lay our hands upon these prayer requests. We commit them into Your hands. We ask for Your blessing and Your grace to be upon them. Hear every prayer. Meet every need. Touch us, oh God. Do miracles, signs, and wonders. Bring deliverance, salvation, healing, grace, and glory. Lord, we ask for new revelation. Revelation of Your promise. Understanding of Your ways. We pray for a new obedience, oh God. For grace and strength to obey. We pray for a release of Your power. We declare it is so. We claim it today by faith. We agree with Your word, Lord. Every promise is ours in Christ. Every promise is yes through Jesus. And we say yes to You, Lord. We say yes to Your will and yes to Your ways. We commit every person, every prayer into Your hand in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody shout yes. Give the Lord some praise right now. Come on and give Him some praise. Come on, you can do better. Give the Lord a shout. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Come on and bless Him. Come on and praise Him.